Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, for he will have mercy upon him. Isn't it time for us to get back to God, y'all? Don't we want the mercy of the great God of heaven? We certainly thank God that he has blessed us with yet another Lord's Day, that we are able to come together and that we're able to reason with one another about what thus saith the Lord. Amen. For those who perhaps are visiting among us, we count it a great joy to have you assembled with the saints that meet here at Stonewall in Waco. Amen. And our prayer is that you will be with us as often as the opportunity allows. If you have not yet obeyed the gospel of Christ, that is, you have not been baptized into the body of Christ, our prayer is that something will be said this morning, that enough will be given, that you will step out on faith and be baptized into the church that Jesus built. Amen. I'm Brother Ray Wilkerson, and I have the opportunity to stand in Brother Gary's stead this morning. I guess for those who were at the 8 a.m. worship, I'm standing in Brother Vincent's stead, but we're certainly thankful again to have this great opportunity. We're going to ask that you open your Bibles, because we're going to study through the Bible. Is it all right to come to the house of God and study? Amen. Study through the Word of God. We've got this journey through the Bible. We've been journeying through the Bible 365 days as we're reading through the Bible. And I hope that you've gotten your reading program and that you're reading through the Bible. But as you're reading along, a lot of times something just jumps out and grabs you, and you stop wanting to read, and then you want to study, and you want to do some more studying. And I just had a thought I wanted to share with you from the book of Ezra. Now, how many, when this morning the brother got ready to read from the scripture, and he said the book of Ezra, you said, I'm just going to wait till he put it on the screen. It's like, I know it's in that old Bible somewhere. And the lesson is entitled this morning, or is it still morning? Let me check. Rebuilding the House of God. The Bible says in Ezra chapter 1 in verse number 2, thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord, God of heaven, hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he hath charged me to build him an house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. An amazing thing that we find in the book of Ezra. The children of Israel had gone into Assyrian captivity in 721 or 722 BC. That's the 10 northern tribes. Because, believe it or not, the people of God sometimes are hard-headed and won't do what God says for them to do. Now, it's an interesting thing, because the 10 northern tribes went into captivity for being hard-headed and disobedient to God. And the two southern tribes that were remaining, you would think that we would learn by example, but they went off into Babylonian captivity around 539 BC, because they too were hard-headed. Do you think God's people sometimes in every dispensation can get hard-headed? They were 70 years in Babylonian captivity. And now the Persians come over and they defeat Babylon. And Cyrus, the king of Persia, a heathen, says the God of heaven hath given all of the kingdoms of the land into my hand. And the God of heaven has told me to build him a house in Judah. And he goes to the people that are being held captive in Babylon, and it's a Juneteenth celebration, y'all. Now, from those of you who are in the South, you know that we got the word late that we's free. And he told people that had been slaves in Babylon for 70 years, y'all can go back home now. Some of them had had children that were born in Babylon. ain't never been to Jerusalem, didn't know anything about the house of God there in Israel and Jerusalem. And he says, y'all are free to go back home. Can you imagine us being in captivity for 70 years and somebody say, y'all free, you can go home now? How many people are ready to get up and go home and pack up and go home? I can hear the conversation in my head right now. So I'm going like, I wasn't born in Israel. I ain't never been to Israel. Don't know nothing about Israel. I'm a Babylonian. I'm going to stay right here. I know that we say that over the last several weeks, I've been wearing some of my dresses from Africa. And people been talking to me about the clothing that I wear. Why you got that on? Why you trying to do that? Is you an African? I said, I'm of African descent. Oh, and there's some folks, don't be telling me that I'm of African. Some folks say, I am not an African American. I'm an American. I want you to see here that there could be some confusion about whether or not you're going to go. And Cyrus gives word, and he wants the people to determine whether or not you're going to go back and build a house or rebuild the house for God. Cyrus, the heathen king, asked the people of God that had been in captivity, who wants to go? In Ezra chapter 1 and verse number 3, the Bible says, who is there among you of all his people? His God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel. He is the God of Israel. This is amazing. Who wants to go and rebuild the house of God? Anybody going to volunteer? Who wants to rebuild the house of God? Who wants to travel some 800 miles and you don't have an airplane? You don't have a bus that you can catch? Who wants to travel 800 miles over hot and dusty and worn terrain to go to Jerusalem to build a house for God in Judah? Volunteers. Did you know that we have a responsibility as members of the family of God that we are building the house of God? Amen. Did you know that? I'm talking about the Church of Christ now. We are building the house of God. I get folk to help me with the lesson because I find out that sometimes folk be sleeping when they come to the church, when they assemble. So y'all turn to the people on side of, in front of, behind. Reach out, tell somebody, we are building the house of God. We are building the house of God. Okay, it didn't catch on the second time. Let me try it again. Repeat after me. We are building the house of God. This is not just an audience participation. This is for it to sink into our hearts and our minds that we today are building the house of God. And God wants us to rise up as volunteers and resume the work, continue the work of building the house of God. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 5, the Bible says, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. We are a spiritual house. So when we talk about the house of God, right now I'm not talking about this facility that we meet in. And yes, we thank God that he's given us a beautiful, beautiful, wonderful facility to meet in. You can sit down in seats that are like movie theater seats. And that's how come sometimes y'all go to sleep. That's not? Oh, that's that other service. We don't have a conflict between the 8 a.m. service and the 11:15 service, do we? Folk don't fall asleep in the 11:15 service. Keep looking. You keep looking around. But the point here is that we're not talking about this beautiful, lovely facility. You are living stones. As lively or living stones, you are built up a spiritual house. Get this, a holy priesthood. We are a royal family in the house of God. This is where we come to meet, but you are the living stones that build this building. And just like Ezra is coming back, and he's about the third group. Three different groups are going to come back out of Babylon to build the house of God. We are building the kingdom of Christ today. Every time someone hears that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, repents, confesses, and is baptized in water for the remission of sins, that's another stone, a living stone added to the kingdom of God, the house of God. And one day, the last stone will be added. And when that last stone is added and the house of God is complete, no doubt Jesus is going to come again. The Bible reminds us, you are a holy priesthood. Boy, I tell you, the thing about the second service, they tell me I can take as much time as I want. I don't have to worry about TV constraints. Just have to worry about y'all falling asleep. All right. I heard somebody say, go on, brother. Go on, brother. All right. So the house of God, the church of Christ, is not brick and mortar. It's living stones. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 19. The Bible says, now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. So the household of God is the house of God that I'm trying to use Ezra to draw an analogy so that we can see. Just like they were rebuilding the house of God, we are building the house of God today. But it takes folk that are willing to work to build the house of God. Now, I want you to, by show of hands, if there is an empty seat on your row, by show of hands, raise your hand. Is there an empty seat? Empty seat. Look around. Oh, no, keep your hands up. Okay, that might not sound right when I say keep your hands up. But is there an empty seat? There's still room to add more souls to this local house of God. And we ought not ever be satisfied. We ought not ever be comfortable. Even if there is one seat left, there's still room to build in this local house of God. Even when we have our combined worship on fifth Sundays, there are still seats that are vacant. There's still room to build the house of God. But you know, we can't build this house of God unless we have folk that are willing to work. I'm not talking about just folks standing up here preaching from the pulpit. You got to make a determination in our own mind that when the Lord says, all power is given unto me in earth and heaven and earth, he says, go ye therefore and make disciples. We've got to personalize it. Because he has given us the responsibility of building the house of God. The Bible says in verse number 20 of Ephesians chapter 2, he says, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. The chief cornerstone is Jesus Christ. Amen. The apostles laid the foundation, and we are to continue to add living stones. We are building the house of God. All right, now try it again. Turn to the person on side of or in front of or behind you and say, we are building the house of God. We've got work to do, y'all. There is a responsibility that every one of us has in order to build the kingdom of Christ, to build the house of God. And if you won't do it, who will? If I won't do it, who will? How are we going to build the house of God? Now, if we don't go, at least we can send somebody, right? Amen. That used to be the thing we were talking about. If you don't go, we're talking about send the light. And somebody changed the song, said, no, don't be talking about send the light. We need to take the light. And then some folks say, no, go back to send the light because I ain't going, but I will pay to send you. Lord, have mercy. We want to make sure that we are taking the light and that we take the opportunity to send the light. In Ezra chapter 1 and verse number 4, the Bible says, and whosoever remaineth in any place where he sojourneth, he says, let the men of his place help him with silver and with gold and with goods and with beasts and beside the freewill offering for the house of God. So here Ezra receives command. He says, Cyrus says, listen, if you don't go, at least send some money to help continue to build the house of God. Does that make sense? I know folk were talking about the budget a week or two ago, and folk go like, oh, Lord, whenever you start talking about money, you're not preaching anymore. Now you're starting begging. It's a request. No, no. And they talked about the free will offering on last week. But now what Ezra gets from Cyrus is that for those that don't want to go, make sure that they give their free will offering. That is free will. Can we give too much to God? Okay, folk got nervous again because they say you start talking about money. I'm just reading what's in the Bible. He says, give the free will offering for the house of God that is in Jerusalem. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 7, the Bible says, every man, according as he purposeth in his heart. Do we have purpose for what we want to do? Do we have purpose? Are we determining for ourselves that we want to build the house of God? And if we're going to build the house of God, it's not going to be because that we have some dynamic and eloquent preacher preaching. You know how the house of God is built? The house of God is built by word of mouth, one person to another. And we are the ones that are building the house of God. And if I don't do my part, if you don't do your part, then it's still going to get built, but we miss out on our blessing. Amen. And this is a tremendous blessing that we don't want to miss out on. So God knows everybody that is working for him. Did you know that?
Amen.
Sometimes folk get lost in the shuffle. Do you think the boss man knows or the boss lady knows everybody that is working for them? They come to the job, do they know you by name? And some folks say, no, they don't know me, and they don't know what they're doing. We have a problem in our country right now with people coming in and getting stopped at the border. Y'all may have heard something about that. Have you heard anything about it? People being separated from their families. And then kids that are being warehoused, and they can't get them reunited with their parents. But here we have a situation where people were separated from their families. As young as in their teens, and these young kids had gone off into Babylonian captivity, and they were up there for 70 years. And when the opportunity was given for them to come back home, they were released. And everybody that wanted to could go back and help build the house of God. Do we need volunteers to build the house of God, or is it supposed to be folk that are on the payroll? All right, this is the audience participation part. I was teaching a Bible class, not here. I was teaching a Bible class on one occasion. I was trying to get some of the brothers involved in the teaching program, and I told them, you know what? You could be a good teacher in the kingdom of Christ and everything. And he said, brother, that's what we pay you for. It's like I was teaching Bible class long before I ever got any kind of paycheck. Do folk have to get a paycheck? Now, Brother Drain, don't start nothing. But now we got folks that are ministers of song. And they get a paycheck. I ain't starting nothing. All right. But some won't work if they don't get a paycheck.
That's right. That's right.
What happened to the free will? And you know what they're saying is that because if we have a dynamic song leader and director doing all of the singing, then folk will come. That's not how you build the kingdom of Christ. That's not how you build the church of Christ. It's not how you build the house of God. The Bible shows us in Ezra chapter 2, and it's an amazing thing here because you'll find out that God knows everybody that is working for him. Did you know? In Ezra chapter 2, get this. The Bible says, now these are the children of the province that went up out of the captivity of those which had been carried away from Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had carried away unto Babylon and came again unto Jerusalem and Judah, every one unto his city. It's got a list of the people who came down out of Babylonian captivity once they were free, who volunteered to go and build the house of God. Now, this is something that folk don't ordinarily read through. If you start reading through this, folks say this is where you go to sleep when you're reading the Bible, because it's got a whole list of names. But look at a couple of these. The Bible says in verse number 2, which came with Zerubbabel, Jeshua, Nehemiah, Seraiah, Reliah, Mordecai, Bilshan, Mizpah, Bigvah, Rehum, Bahan, the number of the men, the people of Israel, the children of Parosh, 2,172, the children of Shephatiah, 372, and the children of Arah, 775. And it goes, man, they had more folk that came out of Babylonian captivity that were going down into Jerusalem to build the house that were traveling 800 miles over land with no air conditioning to go on foot to build the house of God. Then we have assembled in an air-conditioned auditorium with theater seats. Man, there were people who volunteered to work for God. Can we do too much for God? These people didn't think it was robbery to come all the way down. You read the numbers. You go through there and you read the numbers of the people who's volunteering to step up to do a great work to the name, honor, and glory of God. These are the exiles who returned. And brethren, listen, we talk about going over the seas and going over the highways and the byways and going across the world to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, but we need to spend a little bit of time working right here at home. There are folk that live on the street that you are on that are not members of the family of God. How many of them know that we're members of the Church of Christ? That's one of those thought questions. Good question. Thank you, brother. This is a good question. We, as members of the family of God, have a tremendous work to do. And the question is, will we stand for God? This is the 11 o'clock worship. All right, it's a different group. Will we stand for God? Will we work for God? Will we volunteer to do work for God? Because again, if somebody gives me an assignment, then maybe I'll do it. If somebody says that, Brother Ray, you need to be at the Fifth Ward Church of Christ on this Saturday at 10 o'clock because by 11 o'clock we're going out and we knock doors. You call my name and put the responsibility on me, then I might want to do it. But if you don't call my name, that's something for Levi to do. Point I'm making here is that he called for volunteers. Who is going to build the house of God? When you're rebuilding the house of God and you recognize that there's work to do, it's up for us to stand for God. Who is going to stand for God? We need to stand for God because God cares for us. Did you know that? That God loves us and he cares for us. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 6, it says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Verse number 7 says, casting all of your cares upon him. Why? Amen. Because he careth for you. Amen. Did you know God cares for you? Amen. God loves us so much that he didn't even withhold Jesus. He sent heaven's best. Jesus came, and although he created the world, and the world was created by him, and all things that were made for him, he emptied himself out of everything and he humbled himself before God the Father. And he died a beggar's death on Calvary's cross because he cares for you and me. Amen. And our responsibility now is to build the house of God. But if I don't do it, if you don't volunteer to do it, if we don't choose to do it, then the house of God is still going to be built. It's going to continue to add living stones to the kingdom of Christ. But we will have missed out on our blessing. We will have missed out on our opportunity. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 10 and verse number 30, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. God knows all of the hairs that are on our head. We've been back at Fifth Ward now for about 5, maybe 6 years. I'll tell you a little secret. Don't tell anybody I told you because I noticed something. When I came back, things were a little bit different. A lot of the brothers that I used to know before I left here, when we came back, a lot of them had a lot less hair. Some of them would say that they had no hair. A lot of brothers were bald or balding. God knows how many hairs are on your head.
Amen.
Sisters, some of y'all had different color hair when I left from here the first time. See, oh, sisters say, watch out now. But God knows, do you know that God knows how many hairs are up under that hair? I mean, how many hairs that are on your head as well? Because he cares for us. God loves us. He gave heaven's best for us. And now he says, will you volunteer to work for me? Will you build the kingdom of God? And I know, brother, listen, there's tremendous work to be done. But, you know, it first starts with a willing heart. It starts with a willing mind. If we don't have a willing heart, then it's going to be very difficult for us to do the work that God has called for us to do. I want you to notice what Ezra and those who came out of the Babylonian captivity came back down to Jerusalem. Notice what they did. And this is a challenge. You need to go and read it because it's so full, so rich. In Ezra chapter 3 and verse number 3, get this. The Bible says, and they set the altar upon its basis, for fear was upon them because of the people and those countries. And they offered burnt offerings their own unto the Lord, even burnt offerings morning and evening. Everybody was not happy that they were trying to rebuild the kingdom of God. So they had enemies that started writing letters to the governor going like, you know what these folk are over here doing? They are rebuilding the house of God. They're putting the fences back around the city. And they are trying to lead a rebellion. They started writing letters. And then the king that did not give the order started reading about how bad they had been in terms of their rebellions in the past. And he told them, y'all stop building that house of God over there. The enemy will rise up against us. Do you know that folk don't want us to build the house of God the way the kingdom of God needs to be built? Folk want us to follow the examples of folk like Joel Osteen. People be talking about, do you know what Joel, I don't care what Joel Osteen is doing. Folk are talking about what folk are doing at the mega churches. I don't care what those folk are doing at the mega churches. That is not the house that Jesus built. And we don't need to emulate anything that they are doing. We need to stay with what thus said the Lord. Folk are giving us enemies account. We don't want to know what they're doing. All we need to do is do the work that God has called for us to do. Notice this. In verse number 3, that latter part over there, they offered the burnt offerings thereupon unto the Lord. Even the burnt offerings, did you get that? It was morning and evening. Do you know folks are discussing whether or not folk ought to come back to church and worship and praise God at the building on Sunday night? The burnt offering was one of six major sacrifices under the old law. The burnt offering was an offering that represented complete sacrifice, complete dedication. You would bring your bull, you'd bring your goat, you would slay it, lay your hands upon it, and it was a substitution for yourself. And they put it up on the altar and burnt the fire, and it was totally consumed. And that's what the burnt offering is. It's complete dedication to God. You know what's lacking sometimes is complete dedication to God. There used to be a show that came on TV called The Dating Game. Some of y'all might be old enough to remember that. The Dating Game. Well, it's still on? What? Well, on The Dating Game, they would have three bachelors or bachelorettes, and they'd be sitting behind a partition, and there'd be one person, the girl or the guy, depending on who was sitting behind the partition, and they would ask questions about various things in order for them to determine which bachelor or bachelorette they were going to select. And there was a young lady on this occasion, and she was asking the questions. And she had the same question for all three bachelors. She says, bachelor number one, if I gave you a choice between the keys to my heart, the keys to my apartment, or the keys to my Maserati, I think it was a Maserati. Is that a fancy sports car, Maserati? Which one of those keys would you choose? Bachelor number one, he messed up immediately. I knew he wasn't going to get it. He said, what kind of car you say that was? Bachelor number two, the same question. I'll take the key to the apartment. I knew he messed up too. I'll take the keys to the apartment. And I said to myself, boy, I'm going to grow up. I'm going to get on the dating game. And they ask, I'm going to get that answer. Say, what's the answer? I want the keys to the heart. Amen. Why? Because if you got the keys to the heart. Thank you, brother. Oh, you know the answer to that, huh? See, complete dedication. If God's got the keys to our heart, then we don't have a problem with folk coming to worship God on Sunday night.
Amen. Amen.
We don't have a problem making free will offerings to make sure that we meet the budget.
Yeah. Amen.
We don't have a problem coming on special occasions when we have loss. We don't have a problem with any of that. Why? Because if God's got the key to our heart, which is what the burnt offering represents, complete dedication to God, then you got the key to everything else.
Amen.
On the other hand, if God does not have the key to our heart, we are subject to just go through the motions.
Amen.
And brother, listen, God does not accept us going through the motions. God wants complete dedication. He does not want a sacrifice. In Ezra, in the book of Ezra, chapter 3, or Ezra chapter 2, we saw a whole group of people that determined that they were dedicated to God. And they gave both the evening and the morning sacrifice because they didn't think it was robbery to praise God. And you're talking about praising God. You go through the book of Ezra, you see how they were praising God. I have to skip over a bunch of this because you don't have time for it. They set the altar up on the basis in Ezra chapter 3 and verse number 5. The Bible says, and afterward, offered the continual burnt offering. Did you get that? Continual burnt offering. The law of the continual burnt offering is that the light was never supposed to go out. Did you get that? What God was signifying under the old law by the continual burnt offering, he said, don't you ever stop loving me. When is it okay to stop loving God? Continual burnt offering, both of the new moons and all of the set feasts of the Lord that were consecrated and everyone that had a willingly offered a free will offering unto the Lord. So they willingly offered unto the Lord, and they made sure that the fire never went out. God wants our passion in terms of our worship to God. He doesn't ever want the fire to go out. And if we're going to build the house of God, then we will have the kind of passion that we need from the folk that volunteer. Anybody in here know how to barbecue? I got a barbecue pit a few weeks ago. It's in the back of my yard, and my wife will tell you that she probably would say that I'm not a very good barbecuer. But I got a pit. But I can learn. I read instructions and stuff, though. I had a manual for a barbecue pit, and it showed you how to burn the fire in the pit with the charcoal. And I did what it said. I had the charcoal. I stacked it up in a little pyramid. Look, you shaking your head. I'm telling you, I read the instructions, brother. And I struck a match and I lit the charcoal on the bottom. And then it climbed up the fire up my little pyramid there and it lit all of my charcoals. And it said, put other charcoal in the pit around it that are not on the fire. All right, y'all, we got expert barbecuers here. I'm telling you, I was following the instructions. So that when you need more charcoal, then it's in there already. It's already heated up, and it will catch fire just like that. Thank you very much. And I did that, and I had folks look before, and they saw when I had the charcoal in the pit, and they go like, well, you got the charcoal? I said, because that's what the instructions said. And you know, they tell me, you don't know nothing about barbecue. I might not know about barbecue, but I know how to follow instructions. What I'm saying is God needs for us to follow the instructions. Do it the way God says do it. And brother, listen, sister, listen, if we do it the way God says to do it, then we're going to be able to overcome the enemy. And it's in Ezra chapter 4, verse number 24, the Bible says, then cease the work on the house of the God, which is at Jerusalem. So it ceased unto the second year of the reign of Darius, king of Persia. The enemies came up and they stopped the work. And guess what? The fire went out for the building of the house of God. Folk got lazy. Folk sat back and they were not going to build the house of God. If we're going to rebuild the house of God, understand, we cannot let the enemy stop us. Does that make sense? Amen. Don't let the enemy stop us from building the house of God. Amen. In Ezra chapter 5 and verse number 16. In Ezra chapter 5 and verse number 16, when they started to rebuild, the Bible says, then came Sheshbaz and laid the foundation of the house of God, which is in Jerusalem. And since that time, even until now, it hath been building and it's not yet finished. See, they had stopped them, but now they came back and they started all over again. And the house is still not finished. What's the point? The point I'm making here is that this house of God is not yet finished. Amen. We are living stones. We are lively stones. But God is calling for volunteers. Amen. Who will go to work for the Lord? Amen. God is calling for free will offerings. Who will go to work for God? Who's going to rebuild? Who's going to establish the house of God? We are living stones, and we are the ones that are already, quote unquote, on fire. And God is asking for us to put more charcoal. Amen. That they might catch fire. Right. Maybe there's someone here this morning who has not yet obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. I told folk I was teaching the singles class this morning. I was telling folks, look, we're not trying to fool you into the church of Christ. We want you to know what you're doing. Amen. When you come to the house of God, we are hoping and praying that you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. I don't guess you would have come if you didn't believe that. And if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, you come to the point of repentance. Repentance meaning turning from self and sin and turning to God. And when you do that, if you simply confess that you believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, then you can be added to the kingdom of Christ, a living stone. And there will come a point where the last stone is going to be added and the church will be complete. Amen. Amen. Part of the things that they did were based upon the fact that Ezra did take a mighty lead. Ezra was the scribe. He was a scribe, a writer. He wrote down the word of God. When they said the scribe, the reason that they had copies of the word of God was not because they had any kind of publication system. He had to write all of the stuff out by hand, and he had to compare it and make sure that there were no errors. So the copies, the manuscripts, were all handwritten. And the Bible describes Ezra as a ready scribe, meaning that he heard and he understood, he remembered the word of God.
Amen.
And he then chose the responsibility to teach men who were going to be able to teach other men what thus saith the Lord. That's the same principle that we have in the gospel. Everyone who obeys the gospel, whether man or woman, boy or girl, we have a responsibility to rebuild the house of God or to add living stones to the house of God. So we want to make sure that in our Bible classes, we started a new quarter, that we have apt teachers.
Amen.
We're developing teachers and the teaching program, and it doesn't matter how long you've been teaching, we want all of us as teachers to get better as teachers. We want to be a ready teacher, an apt teacher, meaning you have skills, you have abilities, you have a knowledge, you have an understanding of the Word of God. So if there are any who want to become apt teachers, you come to those classes, and we'll continue to teach the Word of God. It's interesting that sometimes when we go to the house of God to go to Bible class or Bible study breakout, that's the way it ought to be. I know it's challenging to do a study, but when we come together again, we want to be challenged by the Word of God. We don't want entertainment. We don't want to have babysitting. We want to be students of the Word of God so that we might have more of it to share. So if there are any here who desire to be baptized into the body of Christ, you can be added this morning. Sometimes as members of the family of God, we stumble, we fall, we make mistakes. We come back through confession, repentance, and prayer. If you're subject to the invitation, why don't you make it known as we stand and sing the song that has been selected.
There's a fountain free tears for you and me. Let us haste, oh haste to its brink. It is the fount of love from the source above, and he bids us all freely drink. Will and will you come? Will you come to the fountain free? Will you come? Will you come? Tears for you and me. Thirsty soul, oh, hear